that it empowers me, that it helps me in my role as the pastor of this church. And it's important for us to be able to keep that in mind, that we come to God and we lift others before God so that He will help them, so that He will be with them in their journey. You see, we have our prayer team within Grace Point Church, and they are people who just really love to intercede for others. And we pass them some of our prayer requests if it's requested through our website to pass on the prayer requests of the prayer team. And they take it seriously, and they'll pray for you. They'll pray for those prayer requests. We get prayer requests kind of from all over the world because it's just kind of an open link. And so sometimes we get really random ones. Sometimes we get really, really interesting ones, and we pray for those requests. And then following our service, we have our prayer team available every Sunday to be able to intercede for you, to pray with you. And it doesn't end there. They'll continue to pray for whatever you prayed through at that moment. You see, as a pastor, I'm a part of two groups with different pastors, and we meet online. We meet through Zoom or whatever video platform is used for each group. And so I have two different groups that I meet with. One I've met with for about 20 years, the other one for a couple years. And all we do is we chat about things that are going on in our lives, challenges in our families, challenges in our work, challenges in our spiritual journeys, as well as the celebrations, things that we're just excited about. We share those as well. And then after that, what we do is we pray for each other. We intercede for each other. And then we say, hey, see you next month. and these are important groups for me to be able to be a part of, because I'm able to pray for them. They're able to pray for me. And we support each other in each meeting that we have with each other. And it's wonderful to me to know from them that, hey, they're praying for me throughout that month as well, not just in the meeting, but throughout the month. And we check in and we, hey, how's that going? And it's a wonderful interaction that we have. And the thing is, we intercede for each other, but we also have Jesus who intercedes for us. Romans 8 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is with us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, we have Jesus. We have Jesus who we pray to. We have God who we pray to. And Jesus intercedes for us. Jesus brings those requests to God as we bring those requests to him. And it brings the power of God. But it's not about the power of God. It's the love of God. And it's the sacrifice of God in his son. And Jesus who intercedes. And it's not about power, but it is about love. Jesus brings us love. Jesus loves us so much that he brings all of the things that we request to God and intercedes on our behalf. So friends, we need to be people who intercede, people who pray for each other, people who pray for others, people who invite others to pray for us. And that's what God invites us into in our life of prayer. Number four is communal prayer. Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. I'm with them. Two or three gather, I'm with them. Now, we know that he's everywhere all the time. But there's something special about that communal prayer, about that prayer with each other and prayer with others. When others are with us, it might be a small group. It might be a group of two or three. It might be a group of up to 12, or it might be a larger group. And sometimes there's even that liturgical prayer that Pastor Luann gave to us. Well, more that communal prayer of the pastoral prayer. And sometimes those have a liturgy alongside of it, which is they might be written prayers. And prayers that are beautiful masterpieces of literature and poetry that bring us beautiful images and language to be able to express to God that prayer. And other times it might be that pastoral prayer where we intercede and we bring some of those requests before God. And where we talk about, God, be with those who are suffering, those who are having a hard time. And we do that as a community and join our hearts in prayer. It's not just about the pastor up here praying and you're just kind of like thinking about lunch or whatever. But it is about us joining our hearts together in prayer for the things that are happening in the lives of the world, of the people around us or the world around us. And to focus our hearts on God as a faith community. As a community of believers. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to do that. And then there's also those communal prayers where it's just an absolute spontaneous time of prayer. Where it's just, you're just like with a group of people or a group of Christians. And you know, and there's this moment where it's like, you know, I kind of feel like we should pray right now. And it might not be as awkward as I think it might be. Right? Sometimes you're in a group of people and somebody says, I think we should pray. And you're like, oh, man, that was kind of weird. That was kind of awkward. And we enter into it. And it was okay. And all those things. But then sometimes it's like, wow, that was actually a very spirit-led, powerful experience to be able to be in prayer together in community. And it's one of those things where sometimes it's awkward. And sometimes it's awkward at the beginning. Sometimes we lean into it. And sometimes it's like, okay, we'll pray later. We have to be sensitive to those around us. But at the same time, to be kind of bold in it as well, to be able to say, hey, I kind of feel like God's leading us to pray right now. Can we do that? And sometimes it's okay. And I think when it comes to communal prayer, we should never really force prayer on people. Anytime I go to even visit someone in the hospital or visit someone in their home or whatever, and it seems like it's kind of, you know, that leaning towards, okay, this is kind of that prayer time that we'll have together. I don't say, hey, I'm going to pray right now. I'll say, hey, like, do you mind if I pray with you right now? Would that be okay? And sometimes they'll say, maybe later. And I'll be like, okay. And sometimes it's like, yes, please pray. And then we enter into that time of prayer. And it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. And we sense the presence of God in that room sometimes. Another element of prayer is healing prayer. You see, God can and still does heal. And each time we need to understand that each time there's like a breakthrough in science or in medicine, that there is a healing breakthrough that happens in that. And God uses things like medications, and he uses things like medical procedures to be able to bring healing. Right. And then other times there's that supernatural aspect of healing that can happen. You see, healing is physical, emotional, psychological, as well as spiritual. And those are the things that we pray for when we pray for healing. Jesus, it says in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus withdrew from a place and a large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. Jesus healed all of them. Now, nobody walked away from Jesus at that moment unhealed. But why don't we see that all the time anymore? Why don't we see that? It's very rare that we see healings, physical healings in people, isn't it? And a lot of times we get more no's when it comes to healing when we get to yeses, because all of us probably know somebody who was healed, and that we sometimes sort of, you know, rationalize it like, well, yeah, I mean, you had a really good doctor and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But sometimes there's that supernatural thing. We try to minimize it a little bit. And we think that we're supposed to see more healings. It's like, well, maybe I have a lack of faith. Well, that's not necessarily it. I believe God can heal. We believe God can heal. And it's not about our faith that heals. It's about the power of Jesus that heals. So let's rule that one out. Can we? Can we just rule that one out? That's okay. I've seen people who don't even believe in Jesus be supernatural healed. Was it just that Jesus' presence had to be there? Well, I mean, that kind of bypasses a lot of the other things that happen in the world if Jesus is actually physically present. But the thing is, God empowers us. And Jesus even said, you know what, you will do greater things than I'm doing right now. Wow, that's incredible. So how do we tap into some of that? And should we have that kind of power and that kind of ability? Well, we never have it, but God has it. And we're just inviting God into it. But the thing is, the answer to the question, why doesn't God heal everyone, is I don't know. And if somebody tells you that they know why, question it. Because it's really hard to know. It's impossible to know. Now, here's an example for you of just God's way of working healing in people's lives. Quite a few years ago, we had this black lab Doberman cross puppy or dog. And she was the best dog in the world. We had to put her down just in October, and I'm still sad about that because she was so incredible. Well, one day we were out for a little bit longer, and she got into high quality what's that stuff called? Watercolor paper. Just shout it out if you know it. So it's this really quality watercolor art paper, and it's almost like a T-shirt. That's how fibrous it is. And she ate a whole piece of this, like a big sheet of it. And we're like, oh, well, that's going to be hard to digest. And I think we've got an issue here. We've got a problem. And sure enough, she stopped eating. She stopped going to the washroom, and we're just worried about her. And I'm like, she's going to need like surgery. That's what dogs need at that point, is surgery to get that stuff out of their stomach because it's just blocking everything. And I remember laying in bed that night and thinking, God, you know, I really like, surgery is expensive, and I really love my dog, and I really can't handle losing her right now. Can you just heal her? And then she was in like the washroom, like in the room next to us, and I could hear this. You kind of know what that means. Sorry for being gross, but there's no other way to tell this story. And I hear kind of a splash and all that kind of stuff. And it's okay. She was on a linoleum floor, so it was all good. And I go into the room and I see her, and she's got this, if a dog could smile, she had a big smile on her face and this look on her face like, I did it, Dad. And there was this huge pile of this gross stuff in front of her. And I was like, okay, God just healed my dog. He healed my dog. Okay, well, maybe this is like a trend. So I'm going to start praying for people that I want to see healed. And I knew of somebody who was dying at that moment. It was terminally ill. And it was really touch and go as to whether they would survive much longer. And I'm like, God, I just pray that you would heal this person. Well, God healed my dog, but he didn't heal that person. Same prayer, same sense of urgency, same faith. One was answered well, and it was just a dog. The other was a human being, and I got to know. But here's the thing. What is God doing in that moment? In that moment, God was working a healing in that gentleman's life, a healing spiritually, healing emotionally, healing relationally in his life, but just not physically. I sure wish he would have healed him physically. I sure prayed that he would have healed him physically. But sometimes it just doesn't happen. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. But I can see the work of God in the midst of it. James 5, verse 14 says that if anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray for them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. See, we do this every once in a while in the church. If somebody says, hey, you know what, I'm dealing with this and I really need some healing in my life, can we call the elders together? We have a group of elders, and can we call them together and to pray for me for healing? And we lay hands on. Now, that's just a symbolic thing. It doesn't really have any magical power or anything like that. But it's an act of caring and inviting God's presence. And it's something where the person who desires the healing is saying, oh, yeah, go ahead, put your hand on me to just join our hearts and join physically in prayer for that person. And the other thing we do is we do anointing here at the church as well. We have this oil. It says frankincense and myrrh. Hey, that's cool. I didn't ever read that before, but it's anointing oil. All it is oil. I think it's olive oil, but you know, it has frankincense and myrrh in it. I don't even know what that is, but maybe it smells nice. Let's see. Maybe it does. Yeah, it does. It smells nice. The other one is unscented. It might be more hypoallergenic, but basically what we do is we take a drop of oil on a finger and then just put it, the symbol of a cross on someone's forehead. And as we do that, it's just a symbolic reminder of the anointing of God within our lives. It has no magical healing power or anything like that, but it's a symbolic way of just inviting God's presence and God, inviting us into God's presence to be able to acknowledge the anointing that He has placed on our lives and inviting His presence of healing in this person's life. Now, I've seen times where a person has experienced some physical healing or spiritual healing or psychological healing. Other times it's like, wow, that was really nice. I have a sense of peace, but that's about it. And then we watch to see how God continues to work in their life. And sometimes there's a bit of a breakthrough, sometimes not as much. And there's no way to really be able to explain that except for the fact that it's an important thing that God calls us to do because He wants us to ask. He wants us to ask, even if it's for healing. Now, number six is deliverance prayer. This is kind of a weird one and not something we do very often, but where our regular and natural world becomes a bit more chaotic and sometimes a bit scary, like a movie that might have traumatized us in our youth that we shouldn't have watched, but we watched anyway and we have nightmares, right? But it comes from essentially, when Jesus did the Lord's Prayer, He says, deliver us from evil. And it's that deliverance from evil that God invites us into. You see, when we or others have invited or participated in activities giving the devil and evil forces influences in our lives, sometimes there needs to be that deliverance. And it might be somebody who's just searching for Jesus. It might be somebody who's just new to the faith. But it's anything from like using Ouija boards to seances to New Age practices. And we need to be discerning and at times invite others to pray over us for deliverance for these influences within our lives. And that's a part of the whole thing. You see, day to day, we live kind of in two dimensions, the physical and the psychological. But we often ignore the spiritual aspect of our lives where we experience and take God for granted at times. But it's that soul to soul experience, that spiritual experience that we need to sometimes pay attention to within our lives. And to say, God, deliver me from this evil, to renounce the things that we did, renounce the ways that we allowed the devil to have influence in our lives, whether it was the intense things or it might have been just some of the smaller things. But sometimes praying over someone and to be able to ask God and it's the person who really needs to surrender their life to God. But as people pray over them, I remember praying over one gentleman. And we were just praying for God's deliverance within his life. We were praying throughout his whole home because there was just all kinds of stuff going on there. And we prayed over him. And I remember when we said amen, we looked at him and he looked 100 pounds lighter. Now, it doesn't mean that he lost 100 pounds physically, but spiritually he stood taller. You could tell just his soul was lighter. And it's an absolutely incredible experience of the power of God, the authority of God on a person's life, that when we surrender our lives to God, when we renounce the evil ways that we might have participated in, and we break the stronghold that Satan may have in our life, what happens is freedom. And deliverance is about, getting rid of that stuff, but also embracing the freedom that we have in the forgiveness of Jesus and the welcomeness that we have into the kingdom of God. You see, through Jesus, we have power and authority and deliverance from these influences in our lives and in the world. James 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we resist him, he flees from us. We don't do the running. He does because of Jesus. So this is not something that we need to fear, but simply submit to God and be with God. And then the devil is going to flee. The closer we are to God, the further away the devil has to be. 1 John 5 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's not to overpower the world, but to overcome the influences of the world. And where we're free from the worries of the world, free from the challenges of the world. Now, here's the thing. When we go into social media, we go into news apps or anything like that, we look at the political and power landscape of our world, and it seems like our world needs deliverance from conflict and war and abuse of powers, doesn't it? That's a prayer of deliverance. But we really need is that, but also prayer for our leaders, prayer for God's will, prayer for better policies, for better accountability and ethics and integrity and peace within our world. We'll get into that next week. But friends, we have a protection when it comes to the spiritual battle that there is around us. And the battles that we have, the discernment, the spiritual battles that exist within our world, in our lives, in our families, in our friends' lives, in our community, and throughout the world, is outlined by Paul in Ephesians. Sorry, I don't know what just happened here, but somehow with...
Whoa. Okay. All right. Here we go. Slow down. All right.
Ephesians 6, Paul says this, and it's the armor of God. He said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with the feet fitted against, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. So here we have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace from the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, you'll notice something here. As we approach this battle, it's mostly about defense. It's mostly about us having the armor of God of defense. And the only offense is what? Scripture. Is the word of God. The words of God in those situations. So that means that we don't have to be fighting a whole bunch of fights. All we need to do is stand firm with the armor of God, with the Spirit of God with us. And he will bring scriptures to mind as we read God's word, as we seek God's word. And as we seek God's word, there's this beautiful, amazing way that the words of God bring the power of God into all situations. Because here's the thing. Here's part of the whole spiritual realm that I don't understand. Is that the battle, the war, is already won because of Jesus. But for some reason, the devil hasn't figured it out yet. He hasn't figured it out yet. But the thing is, sometimes when evil comes, the best tactic the devil has is to try to scare us into stuff. We don't have to be afraid because the war is already won. Jesus is already victorious. He just hasn't figured it out yet. And all we need to do is to be able to read Scripture and to understand it, to be able to remember, oh yeah, the battle's won, okay. So, hey, I'm going to resist you and you need to flee in the name of Jesus. Friends, it's as simple as that. And so when it comes to things like deliverance, we really don't need to worry too much about it. It seems a bit scary, but it's just because we saw the movies. Hollywood messed with it. But friends, yeah, absolutely. The devil and his powers are real and they're influencing our world. And the best way to combat that is prayer. It's prayer. Prayer in every form that we've talked about in all the forms that we'll talk about later. And here's the thing, as I was reading through this or writing this sermon, with prayer as our current focus, I can't help but wonder, and this is the wonder I have, is what would our church look like if we were committed to praying for each other? Really committed to praying for each other. Like all of us being committed to praying for each other often and as a practice. As a regular practice. That's a question. That's also a challenge. And it's also a vision of us praying for each other and letting each other know about praying for each other. And maybe sometimes just kind of like, even in the lobby, maybe like over a cup of coffee, like, hey, can I pray for you? Or anywhere. But what if we were really committed to praying for each other? Maybe start with just thinking of people in your daily prayer life and interceding on their behalf and focusing on praying for people within your church, and then we'll expand it from there. So here's some questions for us to ponder. That was just the challenge. Here's the question. How do you experience prayer with others and for others? Do you resonate with one or more of the prayer elements of the in-prayer examples of simple prayers, petition prayers, intercessory, communal healing and deliverance. Thirdly, what is a step that you can take that would enhance your prayer life with and for others? And number four, who can help you start? Who can help you start this? It might be just, oh, well, I'm just going to spend more time with God, and that's going to be my start. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Sometimes we need other people to help us with it, and that's okay too. But who can help you start? Let's pray together. God, we've processed a lot this morning, and there's there are a lot of ways that you invite us into prayer. And Lord, each one of us resonate with one or two or three or all of these. And Lord, we just want to be understanding from you, and we want to envision what it might be like if we were committed to praying for each other, praying for others. But Lord, just developing that habit, developing that purpose and that place in our lives where we reach out to you and we bring others to you. Whether it be something that where they're struggling or they're sick or maybe they're just a great person and we want to bless them, Lord, whatever it might be. Or that you help us and bring people to mind that we can pray for. And Lord, help us to not just hear these words, but to actually contemplate them and to desire to have a stronger prayer life. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for sometimes taking you for granted and not recognizing how important prayer is in our lives. But Lord, help us to be people who, that this desire will well up within us to want to pray for others. That as our relationship with you and our prayers, our personal prayers to you, God, grow, that we would move beyond just praying for ourselves, but also to lift others to you. So that, God, as we cultivate a faith community centered around prayer, Lord, that we would be able to experience your Spirit in a powerful way, in transformation and renewal.